Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to the Outfitter Connection podcast. Today, I have two leading members of the predator hunting community in the beautiful state of Michigan, Mr. Chris Kreiner from the Great Outdoors Pursuits and Josh Mapes with Overdrive Outdoors. How are you boys doing tonight?
Doing great. Thank you for having me.
Salty.
All right. I'm going to say I'm doing great, but we've had some bad news this week.
Today has been a day. At least I'm smiling. I'm alive.
If
I'm sucking air. I'm good.
any of our listeners have ever listened to Josh's podcast with his friend Kevin with Overdrive Outdoors, Josh gets pretty fired up and it's fun to listen to. And today is no exception. And Chris, this is first time for me talking to you, man, and I'm really excited to have you guys on because I do look up to both of you guys in the predator hunting world because it is something that I absolutely enjoy doing.
No, I appreciate you saying
I'm
that.
glad to be here. Obviously, I've been on Josh's podcast a handful of times. Talking predators and being a part of the predator hunting community is something that I've gotten great enjoyment in sharing what I've learned over the last few years with listeners and just enjoyment in the field with buddies and new hunters trying to get them into the field.
Awesome, guys. Well, let's not beat around the bush and let's get into it. I'll let whichever one of you guys want to start this off, and I'll tell the listeners right now, I'm just here to ask questions. They are the guys with the knowledge and on the front lines of this overreach, if you will.
Yeah, if you want to call it that.
So I guess I'll kind of start off here. I was actually kind of given a little bit of a heads up that this type of thing might be coming down the pipeline. A couple years ago, actually, I was reached out by one of the board members of the Michigan Trapping and Predator Calling Association that images that were being put online, social media, were being targeted by the antis community, which is no surprise. We kind of all already knew that. And so that kind of became a starting point for me to work a little bit harder on the education side of things with photography and presenting the animals in more of a positive light for the general public. And when I finally made it to an NRC DNR meeting last month. And while I was there, I actually seen how bad it had gotten, as far as from this proposal standpoint and the number of people that were indeed sitting there talking and attacking the predator hunters in Michigan, and especially revolving around the denning season or wet season or pup season, however you want to call it. And when that happened, I believe I even made a social media post right after that saying, guys, we need help and we need as many people as possible to show up at the next meeting, which happened to be yesterday.
Man, and did we show up? What a hell of a showing for us.
Dude, I couldn't be more proud of the predator calling community and the number of people. Even the whitetail community had a couple of spokespeople there. MUCC, Michigan Trapping and Predator Calling Association, everybody stood up against this proposal. I think there was like 30 or some
There was
public
20.
speakers.
29 5-minute speakers, I think, but I think there was more than that in the end. There's closer to 30, 35, I think. And then it went to 3-minute comment, and I'm sitting there listening to those like, all right, this got to be the last one. Nope. This got to be the last one. Nope.
Well, I'm
I
talking
mean,
about so
that went forever.
there were 35-minute speakers, but I'm saying as far as speaking for the predator callers,
Yes.
there was about 35 speakers there, and there was 10 speaking against, approximately 10 speaking against the predator callers.
So if you do that simple math,
Oh, we
a
blew
little
the, I
more than
mean,
half.
oh yeah, we blew it completely out of the water. So like I said, I'm super proud of the predator hunting community and what they did yesterday, but
Fell
PETA.
on deaf ears.
Yeah, it did fall on deaf ears. Every single one of us that spoke, the only two people that were really paying attention, well,
No, you can say that. I watched it. The only two people that were paying attention.
yeah, there's only two people that were really paying attention, and the rest really was, like you say, it was falling on deaf ears. But really what caught my attention was the comments from the human resource Oh, Humane Society, I guess you could say. You had Project Coyote there. You had three or four other women there that were speaking against the reason they targeted this is because this was on the agenda. But ultimately, they want to end all hunting. And one of the women even said that she can't wait for the day that the animals can hunt us. You know,
Until the
and
hunters become the hunted. Man, how many times have we heard that, Chris? And we are the bad people.
we are the bad
I
people.
never one time I'd never want to kill nobody.
No. But these are the people that get like they're getting all the attention, but they're threatening harm to the rest of the hunting community with what they're doing.
How many times do those type of people, though, whenever a predator population goes unmanaged and it starts coming into the cities, starts getting into the populated areas, and a coyote eats a neighbor's cat, do these people call animal control for somebody to come put that animal down? Because, oh, my poor Gizmo got eaten by a coyote and da 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 da. Why,
I mean,
where do they come from
you
on
can
that
look at
side of it?
California for that, man. Everything they've banned, and now they need somebody else come and do the dirty work that who's paying for? The American people
Taxpayers.
that were willing to come in and do this for free. What a joke.
Well, and it's no different than the current situation in Colorado, where they no longer have a mountain lion season in April.
Well, and see, this is my concern, is the Humane Society attacked this specifically because other hunters brought this to the table and they had something, a common ground with some other hunters that they could really come after one specific area of hunting. This is just the tip of the iceberg. It's only going to get worse. Now
I
it's
think
all it's going to take is another hunting group or something other proposal to come out there. And they're going to start, as we've talked about this before, you just take it piece by piece and nobody notices.
it's important to point that part out, that this was not a problem brought upon us by the anti-hunting groups. I
And this
don't
was.
know who knows that or not, but it was not a problem brought out by them. From To my knowledge, it was other hunters that have a very big say in this state for whatever reason that might be. If their hands are in some pockets that are deep, possibly some pockets that may be attorney or lawyers. This is all stuff that's been talked about. But that is the kind of dirty. Man, Chris, I've sat so far out of this stuff for a long time, and a lot of people wondered why. This is why. Because.
Well, so here's what I'm seeing, and I'm seeing this from multiple Facebook posts. I'm seeing this across certain platforms that I've been investigating. Is the group that was against us, they're involved, right? Super involved. Like they're at every NRC DNR meeting, and they are very involved in, and I'm gonna say it, these because not everybody in the houndsman community agrees with this. Actually,
No,
very few people agree with this. So this is a
absolutely.
very small number of the houndsman community that actually put this proposal forward and
Correct.
started with a couple of meetings up in the UP, and they got more people on board, and that's where it all started. And it's
And
such a minority.
how absolutely childish to do that rather than they were on our Facebook page, Chris.
I
They
know.
knew who
Well,
moderated. They knew who admin. They know who owned it. Reach out to one of us. You want to talk to me about the problems? But no, you go crying to daddy.
right.
Like, that's what I saw happen. You go
And
crying to daddy who's going to vote in your favor because daddy loves his
that's
kids.
and I say this, I've said this in a couple of messages with our group, and that's what's scary regarding the Humane Society. And another hunting group. They are right there in there with us. And I wouldn't doubt if some of the photos in any of these social media groups got hijacked and used against us
By hunting community.
instead of, like you say, we're right here. All the administrators are posted right there on the page.
Yeah.
Reach out to somebody. You know,
And
it didn't have to go to Lansing. This could have all been avoided. And now we're playing cleanup.
yeah, what a
If
mess.
and I, in all honesty, if so, to kind of backtrack, we're kind of getting ahead of things here. What we're so upset about is the fact that the Michigan NRC and DNR voted in favor of shutting down our year-round coyote season. Our season, so we went from year-round, and now we are closed during the denning slash pup season.
Yeah, we should have started with that, Chris.
What's that?
We should have started with that.
We should have started with that. We kind of, but we quickly got off track because we got so fired up about what exactly happened and everything that got involved. So I completely agree.
So rewind, listen to the rest of it again now that you know what the heck we're talking about.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we got a little off course. So now our season's closed from April 15th through July 15th.
And for clarity, that's how it was from the beginning of when I ever started coyote hunting back in 2006, 2007. And it went that way all the way until 2016, when it was not brought to the table by the hunters to make it a year-round season, but it was brought to the attention by the DNR and NRC themselves to make it a year-round season.
And do you remember the reason for that?
Yes, and he expressed it yesterday. We used to get all kinds of phone calls or used to get complaints, and now those have significantly dropped off, but nobody's made any difference.
And I said that as part of my speech yesterday with them. It's like, you guys may not get the calls anymore, but it's guys like me that do.
Exactly.
Instead of people reaching out. Yeah. Instead of people reaching out to the DNR, well, why wouldn't they reach out directly to a known predator hunter in the area to take care of or alleviate the problem?
And the sad part is, in that entire video, entire meeting, in my eyes, they just showed me why I wouldn't. They showed me proof positive that they don't give two rats asses what you say. Anyways, I mean,
they didn't. It went, like you said, fell on deaf ears.
They had this all planned out long before. There was no way the commissioner could have sat there and gave a 35-minute written testimony that he had in front of him if he made decisions at the meeting yesterday. He made these long,
he
long.
He made
before.
It long ago. Absolutely.
And I think it's also important to point out, Chris, you ought to give any more detail on what happened here, because we need to tell what Proposal G actually is. You probably know more
so
on what that means.
Yeah, so I kind of got sidetracked again by telling people what we actually voted against, or what was voted against yesterday or approved yesterday. So Proposal G, I haven't dug through it with a fine-tooth comb, but ultimately my understanding is they cannot make any changes to the Michigan rules, laws, anything without sound scientific evidence saying that the way the law is currently written is conflicting with the species, or having issue, or we're taking too many of the species out.
I will that read is, you point two if I can, because I got it right,
yeah,
in front of me.
Absolutely.
It says to require the Natural Resources Commission to utilize principles of sound scientific management. Everybody hear that again? Sound scientific management. I don't hear the word social in that, if anybody else doesn't. In making decisions regarding the taking of game and to minimize human bear encounters. If the main point that they drove home, even in the first proposal, was social science, social view from the outside.
If you notice something, go back some of these testimonies that you heard from the dog community and the Humane Society. You heard social science mentioned an awful lot by those couple individuals.
Awful
and
similar I, stories.
Yeah. So where did they get this social science direction from?
Oddly enough, same narrative that the commissioner sat there and read out to us all while mocking us.
Absolutely.
For everything that we did.
Read between the lines, man. It's frustrating as hell.
I don't even think there is a between the lines. It's out in the public and wide open. People just got to see it. And this is honestly the first time I've looked and saw it. Like, just blatant disregard.
Yeah. So
Austin, man. What do you think, Austin?
I think it's, like you said, it was something that was falling on deaf ears from your NRC and things like that. There's an awful lot of science behind the benefits of hunting coyotes year round, right? Mm-hmm. And for them to come in and ban it from April 15th to July 15th, that's a pivotal time frame in the year for fawns, whitetail, your turkeys, your upland game, your ducks, all of those animals. And now you are basically handcuffing your hunters and saying, hey, sorry about your luck. You can't hunt coyotes during probably, in my opinion, the most pivotal time to hunt coyotes.
We brought that up hardcore.
And so I think you guys are going to really start seeing a declination of your game species.
So the kind of hits another point too, because one of the things I've noticed during this time of year, because I mean, even one of the women from the Humane Society mentioned yesterday that only the alpha in, you know, the pack is bred, right? I shoot a lot of unbred females in pairs during this season, way more than I ever come across a possible, you know, female that appeared to possibly be had nursed at one point. I just don't know what to even say about that.
I think it's also important to note that with calling, and Merle and I kind of had a little disagreement, if anybody heard our podcast on this particular part of the subject, the issue is saying that we are calling in and killing females who have a den full of puppies that are reliant on them. And I will not look anybody, anti-hunter, Humane Society, anybody in the eye and lie to you and say that it is an absolute impossibility.
I'm not going to do that either. Right.
Because we're lying. That's not how we got to do this. But the odds of it are very, very, very low. It's been proven. And where Merle and I had a kind of disagreement was I disagree to the fact that they're going to stay in that den just quietly the whole time they're in that den. They howl outside of that den. That was the disagreement we had. It was never a disagreement on if they were killable off of a den, because I take enough records every year and write stuff down. And honestly, those couple months, I kill almost all males.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I have a question. If this whole thing, right, if this is all premised around the fact that, you know, you're killing den mothers, what is the survivability of pups from birth to the first year?
That's a good question. Because I at what point, I have not owned enough dogs in my life, but I mean, I think you could kind of classify your domestic dog, you know, when are they born? How long are they nursing? When are they starting to eat their own food? I think you could almost apply that to the coyote world. I think actually you could probably speed it up a little bit, because Mother Nature's not kind, so they got to move things along. But I haven't owned enough dogs to really put a timeline together. Josh, you might be more familiar with that timeline.
I don't care to speak on that without enough knowledge on it. Yeah. Honestly, it just, I could tell you for myself, and I had a buddy with me on this night, I have called in a female with 13 puppies in tow on public land. That is an anomaly. It's not something that happens all the time, but that was well into that was at the time where we could only use rimfire. That was at the time when we could only be out there during the season. And that was during the open season at that time. It had to be mid to late July, maybe early August. 13 puppies behind her. If she had any of them die in the den, man, how many did she really have then? 20 of them? You know, so like I said, that's an anomaly. Last year, I honestly couldn't count on one hand how many times I actually called in like puppies. So I couldn't tell you what it was last year, but I dang sure hear a lot of them howling out there at the end of the summertime when they're all starting to talk and when they're starting to break apart from their groups. So the thing is no matter what we do, and I don't know that this hurts or helps our argument, but we cannot kill enough coyotes to ever hurt the population. Like,
they travel, so their travel range is so large. I mean, right here at my place, for example, I coexist with my houndsmen here. I mean, we get along great. We have a great relationship. Over the course of the winter, I took one female out across the road. Within the next 2 weeks, they took five more coyotes across the road. And then just this last Monday, the two coyotes I got were just across the road. So, I mean, where are these coyotes coming from? I mean, they know better than to be in my section.
Yeah, but
They fill a vacuum.
Right.
that's something that, even me, like I a couple weeks ago, you made the comment on the video, Chris, when I doubled on the run, both of them, beautiful night. It was the next morning I was getting more trail camera pictures sent to me from
Oh,
that property, and it
no
has
kidding.
been consistent ever since. Some of these properties, you're not going to kill them out of. I mean, and it depends on what they've got, and this property, it's a swamp and an open field. Where do you think they go? They know that swamp's open. Boom, they're right back there. Well, where's it coming from? If we're killing them all, where are they coming from? I mean, they
Good
keep
question.
on. You cannot kill enough of them. It's been proven by science. That would be considered sound scientific management, that you have to kill like somewhere above 75% of the population to ever notice a difference.
Kind of like
And
woodchucks, because
oh yeah.
I tell you, like it's like the woodchucks just materialize out of the ground.
The good thing is woodchucks are delicious.
Are they?
Dude,
I'll make sure I
try
bring
it.
you a lot more. I shot 34 of them buggers last year out of the same spot.
Crock pot woodchuck, I promise you. I'm not even
That's a
joking.
recipe I'm gonna have to try.
I promise you. They eat the same thing as cows and deer. Yeah.
That they do. Yep.
Anyway,
Wait,
but
and I don't understand it, right? If it's a population issue, I'm gonna relate this in the only way I know how. In Texas, we have predator contests from January to March. Is kind of the prime time for predator contest down there. You may have some in November, December, but they really start kicking off January, February, March, with the biggest one being the West Texas Big Bobcat contest. During those 3 months, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of coyotes brought in for a weigh-in, right? Texas doesn't see a decline in population. We kill, I would venture to say, and I could be wrong, we kill more coyotes in the state of Texas than any other state combined.
And you guys can run around with 30-round mags and a rifle sitting in your seat with you.
And a high
Yeah.
rack and all
In a
kinds
high
of
rack.
good stuff.
With
No,
no contention.
so I'll clarify. So the DNR and NRC, it wasn't a numbers issue.
Okay.
And this is where Josh mentioned earlier when he started reading out Proposal G. They are passing this because of social science. Is the term that they use to approve this. And what their concern is the fact that because of the images that are showing up on social media, that the Humane Society and all these other groups are just going to continue super attacking Michigan. And they're
So,
not just going to go, not going to, and they're not going to go after just the predator hunters. They're going to go after it all.
just hand it to them.
Yeah, that's what they did.
Lay, roll
That
over and die. That is
That's
what they just
exactly
did.
what they did. They rolled over and completely gave them, honestly, the fact that hunters brought this to the table is the most frustrating thing because they opened, I've heard this term used a couple of different ways, different times. They opened Pandora's box
They
because
did.
now, because of social science, now we're going to find a reason to shut down. Oh, well, goodness, does are bred by bucks in freaking late October and November. We better shut down the freaking deer hunting season during the rut, or after the rut, during the rut, because the does are pregnant now. I mean, I'm throwing out hypotheticals, but this might not be so hypothetical.
No, this is.
What amazed me about that the most, Chris, is that this jackass got up there and did this thinking that this was where it was going to end. You fool. You think they won't come after the hounds? Are
The
you a
hounds are next,
joke?
man. The amount of content on houndsmen and dog running of coyotes on social media,
That
they're
is way
done.
worse than what we've ever done.
Absolutely.
I mean,
And the
I
thing is,
get no joy out of sitting there watching one die and suffer. I don't get the joy out of that. I shoot it again.
Yeah, and I have a lot of respect for what the houndsmen do to be able to pursue their animals. I don't always agree with some of the stuff that I see on social media, or and even if this is a method that they use, or it, I, okay, I'm being too damn nice. They're using this method in the fields, and it's not right. I mean, we are quick and ethically putting these coyotes down as quickly as possible. We don't want them suffering, and they're allowing their dogs to tear into
And to
them.
clarify again, that's not all of them. And
No, and
I
it's
hope
not
I
all of them.
don't I hope I
Exactly.
don't associate with the ones that are.
No,
But
absolutely. And I don't either. And I don't, and I don't want them associated with, and I'm not saying even the hounds group that did this is that way.
right.
But it sets a dangerous precedence for all of the other stuff that is on social media that sportsmen do that is completely legal. It sets a dangerous precedence for that to get used against us based on social science.
Absolutely. And what a prime example of if we as the hunting community don't stand together, we're all going to fall. For one hunting group to disagree with the other, that's fine. We're all going to have our disagreements and our discrepancies on how somebody does something. But to go directly after another hunting group based on the fact that, oh, I don't like that, the hunting community as a whole is divided already.
Right.
We should be standing up and fighting against other issues than banning mountain lion hunting, bear hunting in California, the mountain lion ban in Colorado, all these other hunting regulations that are on the forefront right now. And then for this to become a thing and like, oh, we don't like the way that predator calling guys do this, so we're going to go after them. No, it should be like, hey, I may not agree with it, but they're doing it legally and ethically. That's all that matters.
Absolutely. And I had a great I didn't get as much time to converse with this woman this last weekend when I was down in Texas as I'd hoped, but Kate Small, she's from Idaho, and she is very, very big into the whole wolf issue out there. And she, when I was down in Texas, she goes, if you guys need any help, she goes, I've got all sorts of resources. And I can help you guys. So as soon as I did that post yesterday, she reached out to me immediately and she's like, what do you need? She goes, here, get a hold of these guys. You know, they've been instrumental in helping us.
That's awesome that you got a chance to talk to her because Felicia just had a podcast that aired yesterday
Nice.
with Kate Small.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Nice. Good.
Dude, what a small world and how awesome is that?
What
You
a
know what I mean?
coincidence, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I mean, she shot the biggest pig of the weekend. And of course, if Kate Small lives up to her name, I don't know if she breaks 5 foot, you know, and very small. So she did shoot the biggest pig of the weekend, but she made that pig look huge.
Yes. Josh, where do we go from here? What can we do? And Chris, same thing with you guys. Like, I know you guys have a plethora of resources that we can plug in here, but for the listeners that are tuned in and tuned up and just as fired up about this as we are, where can people go to start combating this to get it potentially overturned?
Well, I mean, I think it's important to note what Chris said, man. We got to band together. This shit is stupid over some coyotes, over any animals. They are everybody that lives in the United States of America's animal. They are, it's a coyote. I have to admit that they don't bring much for a fur value. What are we fighting over? I mean, really, it comes down to. And I've said this on my own podcast. A lot of it is egos. It's got to be known for being the best. I don't care. I know I can go out if somebody calls me with a coyote problem and I will remove that problem. It might take a while. That's the only I impress myself and I'm the only person I give a damn about their opinion for. I don't want to fight with anybody. And I think that is very important to point out in this because again, it was brought up who brought this against us. I have no hatred for any one community of all of any of this. The fact is we can all coexist and we have for all this time, while apparently all this quiet nonsense was going on in the background. But at the same time, you know, it comes down to every animal. Man, you got people that argue over the freaking color of a duck they shot. Like, what for? Why? Why do you care? Congratulate them, walk away. Don't say nothing.
The measuring contest online has gotten quite I don't even have the right word for it, but I'm the same way. I will admit when I first got into the coyote hunting game, or the nighttime coyote hunting game, I've been coyote hunting for a very long time, but I was going for numbers. You know, I wanted to see how many I could get in a year. And then once I hit that 30, 40 mark, I was like, okay, good enough. I don't need to knock down 50 or 100 coyotes a year to prove who I am in the predator world or in the industry. But that's besides. So ultimately, my understanding is what we can do to help, to answer your question, Austin, to help with this is right now MUCC is working on some things, and Michigan Trapping and Predator Calling Association is working on some things. So membership is key. You know, if you can, if people can join the team and join in on the fight, they can join those couple of groups through memberships. I know MUCC has separate donation options. I don't know if I think Michigan Trapping and Predator Calling Association, are they working on a donation
page? On it very quickly. I'm trying to get that done ASAP, but I've only got so much pull.
Well, and if you're talking directly with them, I did notice that they didn't have the renewal online tab to just click and renew, because my membership actually lapsed. So I need to get re-renewed myself. But it is tough. I'm an online guy. I don't like throwing stuff in the mail anymore. And right now they got a mail in application. So hopefully they can get that fixed in short order to get memberships rolling through there.
Yeah. And I don't know if you said it, Chris, MTPCA is Michigan Trappers and Predator Callers Association. I think it's like a $25 membership fee for the year.
Yep, that's all it is, $25.
It cost me more than that one trip going out in gas. So if you care about this, that's a big way to do it. I don't know anymore if it matters what you say to senators or commissioners. Chris, any input on that? Does it matter anymore? So
one of the things I want to point out about yesterday's meeting is there was a senator there, and when he first started speaking, I was a little nervous. I wasn't sure which way he was going to go with that. But I think that's why they're senators and politicians, is because they're good at kind of weighing the options, and they put both the options on the table, and then they give their what their mind's result is. And then at the end of it all, he did side with the predator callers, and he advised against the coyote season.
And that was a senator. That was not somebody who actually could press yes or no, but.
Right. But it was an elected politician, you know, and so I feel like that was quite powerful, having him there and having him speak on our behalf. So I think that's a start. You know, I think if we can get, it might be past the point of getting politicians involved. I think ultimately, because of the way that it's gone at this point, the only way to get this resolved is through the courts. And
that's where we're headed.
And I'm hoping and praying that actually comes out on the right side, because the way they passed this was wrong.
And I mean, to add to that story, Austin, and we didn't tell you this part yet, but what originally happened with our DNR was that they went into this saying that they were going to make no suggestion on this matter. But then in the DNR legalities, in the law book, they had already crossed out our year-round season and wrote in their new season.
I didn't even hear that one.
If you listen to Dave's testimony, that came out yesterday in question. How does it go where you're going to make no recommendation, yet you slip it into the wording in the laws, but you made no recommendation?
Oh, I did remember hearing Dave mention that. Okay.
Yeah. So that definitely to me sounds like a recommendation, but the words coming from your mouth sounded like they were just hush words.
Well,
to appease the masses.
In last month's fur bearers report, because the biologists and fur bearers did a little report, and it talked about the year round coyote hunting season in that report. And he showed, ultimately, based on surveys that they had received, it showed no increase in coyote take and no decrease in coyote take since the year round season. I completely disagreed with that, because there's no way that those numbers were even close to accurate.
Well, yeah, we go ahead.
But even after he said all that, he goes, "We have no opinion on this matter. We don't have any recommendation on whether to close the season or not."
Yeah, backdoor business.
Yes.
Well, the numbers that I pulled up yesterday when this first kind of got brought to my attention was that, and it's from a super outdated source. I think that it was like from 2020, which was the most recent report I could find, was that there was 13,000 coyotes killed in this state. But they couldn't give a exact or a close approximation number of the total population.
See, the last stats that I ever put my eyes on was from 2017. So, Chris, I didn't see what you're talking about, if they gave any statistics
So
from the
all they
prior
did
year.
is, so I can't remember the date that the stats were mentioned, that the stats came from, but ultimately he showed a graph, and I want to say the number of coyotes per hunter that turned in a survey prior to 2016 was somewhere between 3 and 4.
Well,
And
and but then if you watch the other graph, it showed every year the coyote take was increasing. Like, how have you not, how, if you caught
which
that
graph
graph?
is that? The one from last month? Or was that from?
No, that one, maybe I'll just have to forward that one to you. You may not have
Okay.
seen the same one, but the last information that I saw for statistics, and anybody can message me, I'm easy to find, if this is wrong. The statistics I saw from the last time they actually really did any digging on it was from 2017, which just so happens to be the last, they would have been, in my opinion, surveying 2016, which was does not include a year-round season, and it also includes rimfire only at night.
Right.
So that's skewed. Plus, if you look before that, it shows every year of graph that there was more and more and more and more and more and more coyotes taken, but now it hasn't shown any increase. Like, come on, where's your stats showing that? We can see it before we were even allowed to use anything good.
That's where I had a disagreement with the numbers that were showing, because there is no way. I think he was saying the average coyote hunter was taking 4 coyotes, and that's what the same, and it was right there about the same as what it was prior to 2016. Like I said, I had to go back through the slide and find that too, and I'd be interested in seeing your source too.
I know where it's at, so I'll send it to you when we're done here.
Appreciate it. But ultimately, what I was thinking, I'm like, man, I really wasn't. I did a little bit of coyote hunting prior to 2016. I think along with, I don't know, maybe 25, I don't know, maybe 75% of the hunters now did hardcore predator hunting prior to 2016. I mean,
Yeah.
our predator hunting has exploded since 2016 here in Michigan. And
Major
so you
increments.
can't tell me that the average number hasn't increased dramatically per coyote hunter.
No, and that's the funny thing is they can't tell you that. They can't tell
That's the
nobody that.
problem. And that's where sound science needs to come in, and they can't prove that.
Absolutely. And what a lot of our listeners need to understand is this is a Michigan issue right now, but it will become your issue in the very near future because now they've found the way in.
And this is where being involved. I mean, I know so many predator hunters in Michigan. I mean, Josh, you do too. How many people, and you're probably getting a handful of messages on how people can get involved, how they can help now. But where were, I mean, myself included, like I didn't get super involved until last month.
Yeah, I can't go on a tangent about that at all because I sat back when I should have done more for centerfire. But man, we all got, I feel like even these NRC meetings, they're pretty well rigged to not work with the working man.
No, that is true. You have to take away a whole day of work to be able to go to these meetings. And that one yesterday was no exception. I mean, I think I showed up there at like 9:15, and I didn't leave until 5 o'clock. It
Dude,
was a
I
long,
watched it the whole entire time.
dude, it was painful being there.
Well, and the
So.
worst part for me was, man, I sat there and thought, man, we are well represented. We got nothing but good data. We got actual information. We know what we're talking about. Even our guys dressed better than a lot of the other people that came to argue about it. We're these redneck coyote hunters that only want to go kill animals, but we can bring ourselves together and present ourselves like that professionally, as Kevin would say, eloquently. I don't even know what
we
it means.
We presented ourselves very well.
Right.
Great representation. We applauded each other. We were unified. We don't agree with every person that's there on several topics, but we all came together yesterday for a single cause. And so that's a lot to be proud of. You know, I think it unified all of us here in Michigan. And I think it's going to help us with other states and predator callers as well. We can, and Austin, like you said, this is coming to everybody, and being involved is going to be very, very important. If you love any aspect of hunting that you do, you got to get involved with your local DNR. Pay attention to agendas, what's on the agenda. Pay attention to any proposals that are coming out, because we should, if we would have caught this sooner, we might have been able to stop it. If we came sooner as a group, we might have been able to stop it.
And I think
too much of a foothold.
I think that was a failure on a lot of our parts. I honestly remember being asked maybe last summer about, you know, starting to clean up the act a little bit, but never for a reason. Tell me why. Why are we having this conversation now? That's important information, guys. Quit holding out on this stuff.
Right.
I mean, we if you I, want and, us, and if that's, you want and us that, to fight for a year, I got to know for a year.
And the thing is, that's probably partially my fault. You know, I'm going to put myself out there because I knew there was things brewing, and I made a couple of small mentions about cleaning up photos and people doing better about cleaning up the image of the predator caller. But I didn't. I probably didn't clarify the reasoning to why. Because I know that this has been, and maybe it's not been a couple of years, maybe it's only been a year, when I got approached regarding possibilities. But yeah, there, and again, being involved, you know, I'm hearing it from one person. We probably could have heard it firsthand by being at a meeting, you know, a year ago. MUCC, actually going back to MUCC, they had a guy there. He brought a stack of papers of actual data of what happens at the coyote den during denning season.
Is that the guy that said, I don't need to hand you all these right now?
Exactly. Yeah. Cause goodness, he had a stack of papers, man. And so he came very well prepared with actual data. And
for a blind eye,
and unfortunately the chairman, he goes, well, I have my data too, and yeah, that tossed all his data, right, all the MUCC data out the window.
Burns my ass.
So
it was just so blatant, just disregard for what everybody's always said matters. I mean, just looked us all in the eye and spit in it, as far as I'm concerned. And I think it's also important to mention here, before we get too far off in the weeds, the argument was also made that we are still allowed, this only affects public land because you are still allowed to nuisance hunt. That's how, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, that's how it came out yesterday.
That is the way they're saying it.
Correct. If you want to get a ticket, you mess with that.
Yeah, that is the problem. So they were very good at wording this in a way that nuisance hunt, you can't carry a collar with you. The animal has to be visible doing or about to do damage. So if a CO, if you're out in the field and you got a collar with you and you're walking out with a loaded rifle, you are going to get a citation for hunting out of season because you weren't taking care of a nuisance animal because you got, you know, your tripod, your rifle, and your collar to try to call that animal in. So that is the way they are portraying this nuisance hunt. And it's confusing a lot of conservation officers.
Yeah. If it takes an attorney to figure out what the hell you wrote in that book, you need to redo that book.
Absolutely. And
so many people think of us as FUDs and idiots. Make it idiot proof. Right. I mean, seriously, why is that so difficult? But if you read into it, it feeds right into them. You got every chance out there to get yourself in trouble if you read just a portion, because there's two different two different books. There's a Fur Harvester's book, a fur something like that, Fur Taker's book, and then there's the General Hunting book. They both say two different things.
I've always felt it that game laws in general, and specifically game laws, should not be left for interpretation. They should be
not
black and white. It's this from this time to this time. You cannot do X, Y, Z, and you can only possess X amount of animals, right?
Instead of bullet point 18, bullet point 27, bullet point this, look in this page for this information, which then resorts you back to a different page. Come on.
Yeah. Put it all black and white and remove the question of, or the statement of, well, I didn't know because this doesn't make sense. You leave it up, and I have no issue with game wardens or DNR or any of those bodies, right? They're just there doing their job. But if you leave it up for interpretation, it creates that gray area, unless you're an attorney, you're not real sure how to read it.
And that's where I also encourage, if you're good at talking and you can generate that relationship with your local CO, it's good to be able to call. Like, I've got a couple of their numbers. I'll call them and be like, hey, this is really gray to me. And they go, you are right. You know, so they can clarify some of that gray area. And that's the problem too, is because some of that stuff is a gray area to them. Like, they may not have full, of course, they got the hunting guide and everything like that. And that is strictly just that. That is the guide. That is the way that it's been told to me. They have to go by the actual law, the way it is written in the thousands of pages of probably outdoor laws. And so they have to go digging through there to find exactly how it's written there to be able to understand the charges or what the law reads. So being able to get them on board with what certain things are meaning is very beneficial. And the funny thing is, and this is where you got to be careful. It'd be nice to get it all in writing, but they probably won't put it in writing for you, would be my guess. But what one DNR officer says would be okay, another one will say it's not okay.
Go 2 hours away, you catch a poaching charge.
So that's where, you know, I had conversations. I mean, in the book, in the rule book, it says we cannot center fire coyote hunt during deer season, or from November 15th through November 30th.
Yep.
Well, if you talk to the COs and the way their rule is written, it says during deer season. Well, their deer season is from half hour before sunrise and half hour after sunset. So they said, after sunset, it's no longer deer season. You can coyote hunt if you want. You know that.
I never heard that.
Yeah. So that was my local CO, because I heard of another CO in the southern part of the state that said the same thing. So I started checking around. Well, Kyle Wilson, for example, he checked with his CO and he goes, oh no, that's poaching. You know, so, you know, it depended on who you talked to, and a complete different interpretation of that area of the rules.
It absolutely should not be that way.
There should be no interpretation. Completely agree.
No, and what I think the hard thing for me is, man, with how much I love to coyote hunt and how much I love to do this, if you leave it up for me and that guy and all these other guys to interpret ourselves, and then I get caught doing something that you say I can't do, now I could lose everything I ever wanted while trying to do what I wanted to do legally.
Absolutely.
But that's you can tell me that I'm doing it wrong because that's not how you understood it. Get it out of here. That should not be law.
That's ultimately, you know, why this is a huge point as well, is like the gray area needs to be eliminated. You know, there should be, like you say, it should be all black and white, because one CO might be able to say one thing. Well, this person goes out and he's allowed to do this one thing. Report all poaching call comes in and a CO from another county shows up with a completely different interpretation. I mean, Josh, you know, we got thousands of dollars wrapped up in our stuff.
There goes everything I've worked my ass off forever to get. Gone because of your interpretation. That is a joke and should not be allowed to be that way.
Right. So A lot of there's a lot of things that the DNR and NRC needs to clean up to or remove interpretation, not just in the predator world, in the hunting world in general in Michigan. And I know Michigan's not the only state with these issues.
Right.
This is an issue throughout the country.
Well, and I've seen it quite a few times too. A lot of
Wrap this
people
up
like,
here.
I can't
Fix the
believe
wrap
you
it up.
even I can't believe you guys even listen to the DNR. And it's like, hey, you know what? If you want to go mess with it, you do your thing. But at the same time, you doing your thing because you don't listen to the DNR is another. We are all umbrellaed under the same group of hunters that all these people hate. But it don't matter what species you hunt. You go out there gigging frogs, them anti-hunters hate you just as much as they do me for killing a puppy. I mean, I promise you that. So every black eye given to us is in general negative towards the vast majority of people who want to just do what they can do because they love it. I mean, and it's not like it's not something that I personally am willing to go play the borderline game with and say, boy, I hope if I get stopped tonight, he's going to say I'm good to go. But I can tell you with this passing, I just lost every bit of 95% of the property I've gained in 19 years as a coyote hunter because of this season change. And they're not leaving that up to interpretation. That is closed.
We've got about 8 minutes left in this episode. Do you guys want to wrap it up with a couple closing thoughts on how and what the best course of action is for listeners if they want to jump on board and help a fellow hunting state out, such as Michigan, combat all this?
Chris.
Well, first off, obviously in this case here, social media was the biggest attack. That was kind of the starting point, and people have to realize as there's certain images that are that's fine if you want to send it through text message to your buddies.
Dude, I will clap for you if you head shoot a coyote, but it doesn't need to be out there.
Absolutely. Perfectly said. The rest of the social media world does not need to see these images because they are being used against us. And I don't want people to be so naive to think that it's their particular photos are not being taken. I've had multiple people, mention to me like, well, it's my First Amendment right. I can post whatever I want. Well, please don't be so naive. They're using this stuff against us. And like it or not, this can result in you completely losing what you love to do because we are outvoted. I mean, sportsmen as a whole in this country are way smaller numbers than the rest of the general population. So I'm not saying I don't want to say we have to bow down and appease all the general population, but we got to be careful.
None.
And I think that being thoughtful and not being gruesome, can go a long way.
And I mean, we run the biggest predator hunting page in the state of Michigan, Chris, you and I together under Paul, Predator Hunter Outdoors. And we know ourselves that it's infiltrated, but there's no way that we can knock all these infiltrators out. Everybody's, if you answer the questions right, you steal some pictures of dead coyotes and put them on your profile. It's hard to weed out that stuff. So everybody needs to understand. I mean, and people don't get it with law enforcement either. Law enforcement is in all your hunting pages.
They
If
might
you,
be your friends.
dude, and you wouldn't even know it. So if you can be teased and lied to about who you're really being friends with and who's on your pages, this is the people that we are now fighting against. They got in and they took what they wanted. You know, and it's unfortunate, but if the stuff's not there, then what are they going to find? The unfortunate thing now is it's already past the NRC, and it's our job to do as much as we damn well can in 21 days. And right now we are actually taking cover letters if there is any companies willing to work with us on this. We need cover letters saying that base or a letter of intent stating that these companies are willing to donate X amount of money to the fight for Proposal G in our state. I mean, Proposal G again was voted on, in my understanding, by more than the majority of the general public in Michigan. The general public also includes every one of these landowners that I've ever stepped foot on their property. they voted on this, and this got just ripped out of, I mean, just thrown apart and stepped on in front of anti-hunting groups in this meeting. So we need, we're going to do what we can to do legally take action. So we need letters of intent stating that you would be willing to stand behind Michigan Trappers and Predator Callers Association with a dollar amount, what company you're from, and you know why this matters to you. And we need that emailed. If you could give me just a second here, because I know I said it earlier.
I've got it pulled up right here, Josh.
Go ahead and say it then if you can email it. ThornCreekTaxidermy@gmail.com. That's where we need donation or these letters of intent delivered to right now. Right now, the object is just to show that we aren't going to just roll over and die like we watched at the meeting yesterday. That's really all I know enough to say. Chris, you got anything to finish?
I do not. I think we've hammered home a lot of really good points today. And, you know, we hope that, you know, it's not too late, but the fight's coming.
And I can end on my own note here. I'll say it for the general masses that have ever talked to me, ever been involved with me, ever known me. If we ever had a problem over anything, whether I caused it, you caused it, let's sweep the shit under the rug and be done with it, because this is big right now, and it takes all of us getting together, and it's going to take us all getting together and forming that wall to make any change in this. And if they win this all outright, we lost way more than 3 months of coyote season.
Absolutely.
Completely agree.
Josh, Chris, if you guys don't mind, plug your social medias, plug how people can get a hold of you, and also the websites and places that people can go and be proactive towards getting this thing righted.
Well, you can follow me on Instagram, C Craner Media. I'm also on Facebook, Chris Craner and C Craner Media, along with Great Outdoor Pursuits and Dust to Dawn Outdoors. So I've got a lot of different things going, but you know, I do my best along with a group of buddies to produce some good coyote content, photos, and look forward to seeing you there.
Chris is the man to reach out to or watch if you ever want to learn how to take some badass nighttime photos. I'm still not getting it. Chris, we just got to go hunting together sometime so I could see what the master does, because I stand out there for an hour looking like an idiot taking pictures, and I still am like, oh, if that one gets some editing, it'll be all right.
Well, looking at the calendar, we got a month to make it happen.
Yeah, sad story, man. You can find me and Kevin Rott, Overdrive Outdoors on Facebook, on Instagram, on YouTube. And I mean, if anybody just wants to have a conversation, I'm not up to an argument with anybody right now. That is not what I want with anybody. But if anybody, you know, wants information, please reach out. You can reach out on the Facebook page, Instagram, wherever you find me. Again, I'm not very hard to find. I'm Josh Mapes, Overdrive Outdoors. I would love to talk to people. I'm doing what I can, Chris doing what he can, but we need a whole lot of people doing what they can. And I hope to hear from somebody, but, MUCC dot, I think, is it org?
I think it's .org.
You can go there. They've got something set up. That's Michigan United Conservation Clubs. And then MTPCA itself has a website, Michigan Trappers and Predator Callers Association. Please, if you can consider becoming a member, it's $25 a year. I've missed more coyotes in a night than $25 worth of ammunition. So it's not hard to come up with. If you're a coyote hunter, you know darn well you blow a lot more money than you want to anyways. Do it for the right reason.
My phone was just ringing. It was Pulsar calling. I reached out to them to see what they could do.
Attaboy.
So awesome, we'll see what happens.
Awesome, guys.
Austin, thank you very much for having us.
Of course, man. I'm glad we got this going, and we'll get it out to the masses and see if we can't make a change.
If you get a warning saying like this account is about to be canceled, just forward it to me, bro.
I'll start a new one. They don't scare me. I appreciate both you guys coming on, and hopefully we can get this out there and make a difference.
Thanks, Thank Austin. You. Appreciate it.
Appreciate Absolutely. It. Chris, good talking to you, man.
You too, Josh.
We'll see ya.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
See ya.